This is the Faith Debate, a theological roundtable gab fest with the Mixed Master as the master of ceremonies and the notorious Triple B, the big bridge builder. Can we build it? Yes, we can. The Faith Debate is a free-for-all forum.
Hoo-ah!
Where faith community leaders wrestle over the truth.
Yabba-dabba-doo.
In less than 30 minutes, learn more about what really matters than others learn in a month.
Ooh, how convenient.
Are you ready for a clash of ideas? Are you ready for the sound of freedom?
Let's get ready to rumble!
Let's get ready to rumble.
Ah! Yeah!
In this corner, weighing in with a Master of Divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, the Faith Debate Master of Ceremonies, Troy Skinner.
Got a moron here, is that it?
And in this corner, weighing in as a pastor, teacher, and founder of Bridges, connecting needs and resources in the local community.
Ooh, mama.
The notorious Big Bridge Builder, John Switzer.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Are you warmed up? I'm warmed up. Jonathan Switzer, he's the founder of Cross Bridges, and David Forsey, he's the founder of the church that meets at David's house. I'm Troy Skinner, and this is the Faith Debate online at...
You got to come up with a different name than the church that meets at David's house. You just call yourself the church, or, you know, we're doing church, or do you give it...
No, there's no name.
Like when you invite somebody, hey, you want to come with us? Yeah, what do you do?
We kind of
do
no
church
name.
Together.
It's kind of like a U2 song. Instead of the streets with no name, it's the church with no name.
Well, I think part of the whole idea is to help people have what I would say is an accurate understanding of church.
Yeah,
you know, like we say we have a time of worship in our home on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe even say a focused time of worship, because you know, everything that we do is worship of something, and the church is made up of all of those people who are in Christ throughout all of history.
Yeah,
and so that I guess is a way that we're sort of in what we are doing, pushing back against some of the false ideas of what is church. It's not a building. It's not a particular time
and
place. And
so what is your standard for defining church? Do you look to church history for definitions, or do you primarily look to the New Testament?
I would say we seek to use all of Scripture.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say we, you know, I think the New Testament certainly for sort of some practice.
You're not going to slay a lamb.
No, that's already been done.
Lintels.
Yeah. But we will take communion and understand how the slaying of the lamb from the beginning, you know, points to Christ.
Would you dance before the tabernacle like David did?
Well, what's the tabernacle now?
The church. So would you dance as the church?
I think it's possible that we could do that. We're probably not set up in a way that promotes that sort of activity.
I'm thinking about Old Testament. These are Old Testament things that we did in our circles that weren't so New Testament, but they were Old Testament. And you know, so our definitions of those came from the Old Testament. So as you're thinking about Old Testament, I'm just like, that the Old Testament would define.
Yeah, if you're fresh to this conversation, this is round four of us getting together. First time we got together was the second Sunday of December, and we were talking about kind of the background that David Forsey has that led him to the place where he felt like, yeah, I think we should start a church that meets in our home. And then the second week, we ended up, what did we talk about? Let me look at my notes. I wrote down what we talked about. Oh, I think we talked about some of the reasons for doing home church. I think that was kind of the theme of that week. And last week we kind of talked about whether or not the house church movement is intertwined in some way with the charismatic movement. And
not intertwined so much as resembling.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay. Yeah. And I think there's some resemblances, but I think that they're not necessarily family resemblances.
Yeah, so I don't know that I agree with you, but we're going to debate something else, I think.
So now what I wanted to try to get to is, because this is the first time we've been doing the show for over 15 years, I don't think we've had somebody on the show to talk about a house. I mentioned last week we've had a guest on who has a house church, but we didn't talk about house churches with him.
And you and I have talked about it some, but
off air, right? I don't think we've ever done it on the show, have we?
We've talked about everything on the air. I don't remember.
That's true. But I don't think we've had a dedicated focus. Let's do 2, 3, 4, 5 shows on this with somebody who's doing it.
Okay.
And so you're
thank
doing
you, David.
It. Yeah,
yes.
And David's had to think through, okay, what's to be gained? Like, if we do this, you know, now that you've been doing it, we're doing this, we've gained this positive thing. But also maybe we've gained this negative thing that we haven't figured out how to handle. And then I also want to hear kind of what like you've lost that was negative, you're glad to have lost.
Okay.
Or some things that maybe are lost that you're like, yeah, I wish we hadn't lost that. How do we bring that back in? So let's
all right.
Let's
so like what's first again? Go back to the first question.
The first thing is, you know, what have you gained positively by doing house church that's specific to a house church that maybe wasn't there in a non-house church?
I'm with you. That was
yeah,
that's clear.
That's a hard question. What have we gained? I think that we have gained a sense that to be the people of God is more like everyday life than a particular event once a week.
So being the church is like everyday life.
Yeah. So everything that we do is an act of worship. You know, being
Romans 12.
Being a believer in Christ is like going to work, is like
so a heightened authenticity.
Eating dinner as a family is
it's a heightened, because you go to people, we talk about it all the time, and we have on this show in different contexts, people go to church to hide. you can hide in a big church.
Yeah.
It's easy to not be authentic. You can put on – it's a big problem in a lot of churches. People are wearing masks all the time. But in your context, it's less likely that people are going to wear masks because you're kind of doing life together. You're coming – is that what you were meaning by that?
I think so. And, in a sense, that worship of God is something that we are actively doing all the time.
So it's an integrated into your life.
Yeah.
Church and regular life are deeply integrated.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I think part of it is maybe part of it, and you know, Troy, maybe you can speak to this a little bit. Maybe part of it is that it meets at our house, and so our house is where we gather for
feels
worship.
Integrated.
And so, you know, it's not like we do things very differently on Sunday mornings, we prepare like we would any other time for having, you know, other people at our house.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. Like I've had, you know, an experience at these radio stations for years, and I go to a place, the radio station building, to interact with people, and I'm friendly with them, and they're friendly with me. Most of the time, we're friendly to each other, and and we're doing life together at some level. But we're going to this predetermined artificial place that we gather, and that does feel different than those times when, you know, I'll invite people from the radio station over to the house. Sometimes a group of people, sometimes 10 of us will all get together, and it's the same group, but the setting is different, and it feels more raw, more real, more gritty, more authentic.
Yeah. Where you've invited them from a very defined business environment into, you know, across the line into your private life at
right.
that point.
But I think that's part of what you're saying, because it's like you're going to the business of church, right? Church Inc. You're going to the big building that's got the big mortgage and the
right.
you know, and all those sorts of things, and a staff pastor who's, you know, not making big enough money. That's a misnomer. There are some pastors that make a lot of money, but the overwhelming majority of pastors do not make a lot of money. So that's a misnomer. But in your case, I mean, I don't think there's a financial structure in place at all, right?
No, There's not.
So. I've often thought that, you know, take a president of the United States or, you know, the mayor of the city of Frederick, you're not going to find somebody like that going to likely to a home church. You know, there's a certain amount of formality that that is valuable when people that are well-known public, you know, officials or whatever are coming together to worship, that that I think is a lot harder to break into a private kind of interaction. And so I've thought that often about high church. Feels to me like the formalities that come with it benefit high society and people that play well-known roles in a community.
Well, you are a populist, aren't you?
That they can't interact with everybody about it. That makes me a populist?
It sounds like a populist idea, yeah.
What, that I'm not following you? Well, can you believe that?
It is a humble environment. To,
right. I was just being playful, by the way. But the point is, because I might have confused others besides you. this idea that there's this almost elite structure that the elites are comfortable in that's separate from what the everyday people and the populace is comfortable in. You know, populism is all about the unwashed masses getting their way as opposed to the elites getting their way. So
the Anabaptists were certainly less a part of the structure of, you know, political high society structure of Germany at the time.
Right.
So anyways, you know, yeah. I think those kinds of realities play out.
So I don't know if in that mix, I don't think we really got into what was gained that you think maybe is negative or you're concerned could become negative if you're not on guard against it.
I guess I've thought there's the possibility of negatives. I don't think we've experienced any of those yet. I mean, there's the possibility of people who you wouldn't want in your home to end up in your home and you know, to know where you live and
totally.
And so
where you keep the peanut butter.
Yeah. valuable commodities.
That I feel like was really insightful.
So there's but I guess one of the things that that we thought about going into this is that just because there's the possibility of something bad happening doesn't mean that should be a determining factor in whether you act or do in a particular way.
Yeah. Now, to pivot onto the other, what is there anything that you can identify that's been lost, that's bad that has been lost? Like, do you miss the structure? Do you miss the leadership structure, maybe the level of accountability that might have been in a more formalized church setting? Do you miss, I don't know, do you miss not being able to...
Maybe you're just too early in the process.
Right? You can't skip. It's coming to your house whether you like it or not.
You know, we don't really feel that pressure. You know, we feel like we can say, hey, we're not going to meet this week. I think a larger church has more of that pressure because they have advertised that, you know, to people that they don't know that this is happening at this time, and so that they have to make it happen.
But you don't feel like you could just not be there one Sunday.
I do. I feel like we would let everybody know. I feel like it would be okay to, you know, wake up and everyone in my house is sick, and so we call and let everybody know that it's not a hospitable place to come to right now.
Yeah, right.
And I would not feel bad about that. I wouldn't feel like I was letting anyone down because, you know, that's real life. Real life is stuff comes up and the expected isn't always able to be expected. Whereas, you know, to me, one of the negatives is, of trying to have a larger gathering of people, there's a lot of expectations and a lot of pressure to meet those expectations, whether the resources are there or not, whether the the leadership has energy to do that or not. And so there's a tendency to there's a real lack of pressure to manufacture anything in to meet people's expectations.
Now, I'm going to ask a question and give you a second to think about it, because it could be loaded if you know.
So, okay.
Because a lot of people, you know, that tell me they have heard the Faith Debate show, they talk about it in the context of they had listened to it on their way to church, getting ready for church. A lot of people who are church listen to the show. And so my question is, you know, there's at some level, maybe it's a minuscule level, but at some level, starting a house church is in reaction against something that you're glad to have gotten rid of. So, but before you answer, like, what you're glad to have gotten away from, I'm going to read. This is The Faith Debate. I'm Troy Skinner. You're listening to The Faith Debate on 930 WFMD, online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. Jonathan Schweitzer is the founder of Crossed Bridges, well, co-founder with his beautiful wife. And not too long ago, Jonathan had the privilege, by the way, of baptizing his own daughter. That's a pretty cool thing.
That was a great moment for sure.
Yeah, very cool. I saw the video, and I don't know that I've ever seen you or almost anybody else I know beam quite so much as you were beaming. It was really cool.
That was my daughter.
Nothing better.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyway, and the other guest on this week's show is David Forsey. He has begun a house church that meets in his home. And now I just told him to tell the rest of us what's wrong with the way we do church.
All right. So the actual question is what were we trying to get away from, in a sense?
What's been lost that's a good thing to have been lost? You're glad to have lost that.
I don't think I even answered the question, what did we lose that we are sad to have lost, which I think I would say is the joy of a larger group of believers together. I think the more the merrier, you know. If it is people who are in Christ, and so that certainly is something that I officiated at a wedding this last weekend, and so we really enjoyed being with a very large group of those who we know are in Christ, and the
it was like 10 times as large as what meets in your home, right?
and so that, you know, to us was a really beautiful thing, not necessarily something that we feel like we need to have every week, but it's nice to experience. It really is, because it's a taste of the, you know, the larger and larger, you know, there's heaven will be the largest church, if you will, right? When the entire bride of Christ is there, and so in that sense, it is nice. I wouldn't say we miss it, but we enjoy it when it's there. So then going on to what
don't you have to deal with that you're glad that you have to deal with because you're not a more traditional looking expression of the church?
I guess I'd just go back to the pressure of things to maintain, things and to maintain, so property, you know.
Right, you don't have to worry about.
And by that I don't just mean like a mortgage.
Right.
Everything that you have.
Yeah, you have to mow the lawn of the big church property, or clear it of snow, or re-roof it when it starts to leak, or fix the HVAC unit when it goes bad.
Or buy new chairs, you know, or argue over what color the new curtains should be. Or,
right.
You know, it's my house, and so my wife picks those things and tells me when we need new chairs, and so it makes, you know, some of those decision making processes a lot easier. And I would say, you know, there are a lot of those things end up being distractions. So property and then programs also, I think can end up being large distractions. I think they can end up using, I think many, many programs wear out their welcome and are continued much past the time of effectiveness and usefulness. And many, many programs also are born out of a felt pressure just to have them to meet one person or a few people's particular need. A whole new program has to be developed and put out there.
So that begs questions like, do you collect an offering? What do you do with it? Do you do? Do you have like a youth night where the kids gather together? Do you just tend to do everything as families together? You know, some of those kinds of things. Are there moments where you will provide adult interaction that is, you know, away from the kids? You know, some of those kinds of things.
No.
To the last part.
to all of those things. We don't have any of those things. I guess I would say, you know, our approach is more that if we seek to be aware of needs and to meet those particular needs, and I, you know, I guess some of it is our, I guess one important note to make is that we are very connected with other believers that are not just in our home, that don't just meet in our home on Sundays, you know, partially through the same homeschooling networks, that you and I are in, Jonathan, but, also just with the other believers that we used to go to church with that are, you know, going to various churches, all over Frederick County. You know, we have those connections still. And so I do think a critical sort of point that we, thought through, my wife and I before saying, let's do this is to say we need to maintain connections with other churches. Isolation is never a good thing. And so,
with other churches or other believers,
isolation from either one of those is not good. And so we need to have sort of both of those.
So you have to stop avoiding me, Jonathan. Again, we need to come together.
Yeah, well, it begs the question, how do churches, like, how do you maintain a connection with a church from your church? But I don't know that we have time to get into that particular distinction.
Like 30 seconds, so enough time for me to thank you, too, for being on the show.
Yes,
Jonathan You're Switzer, welcome. Thank you, my friend.
It's good to be here.
Founder of Crossed Bridges online at Crossed Bridges. No, what is it again?
Crossed Bridges, past tense, Crossed Bridges, CROSSED.
With like .net or something?
.com.
So it is .com. Okay. .com. I don't know why I thought it was something different. Anyway, you don't have a website for your house church, do you, David?
No. Absolutely not.
David Forsey, does your business have a website?
It does, yeah.
Do you know it off the top of your head?
DaveTheTreeGuy.com.
He's an arborist. DaveTheTreeGuy.com. So
thanks for the plug.
Give him a buzz. I'm Troy Skinner. We're online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. Thanks so much. Hey, make good choices. Good choices. New Year's Eve, just a couple of days away. Good choices. I want to see you around next week, 167 and a half hours from right now. God bless.